It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The state of Pennsylvania is now in its 8th month without a budget, a record for the longest budget impasse in modern state history. But it's February, and Governor Tom Wolf is forging ahead, set to deliver his annual budget address next Tuesday. He has been revealing some of what he'll propose, and this morning announced that his 2016-2017 budget proposal will include a merger of the Board of Probation and Parole with the Department of Corrections and moving the eHealth Partnership Authority to the Department of Human Services to save money. The governor joins us now by phone from Harrisburg. Governor Wolf, good to have you with us.
Thanks, Paul. It's great to be with you.
Are there some other cost-saving measures or budget details that you can share with us today?
Yeah, sure. I'm looking at a very focused budget that does two things. It continues the priority that I think we all as Pennsylvanians ought to give to education, so that I will be proposing and have already announced an additional $200 million on top of what is assumed to be in the 15-16 budget from compromise budget that we had, which was $350 million. And the early childhood component will be $50 million for early childhood pre-K and $10 million for Head Start. I'm also proposed this morning, and actually just brought folks up to date, continuation of cost savings. We continue to need to make sure our government works as efficiently and effectively as it can. And so, as you pointed out, the merger of corrections with the probation and parole, that merger should save $10 million immediately, and then we'll have savings moving forward. Talked about moving this independent authority, eHealth, into the Department of Human Services, which will save about $1 million a year. And then I'm continuing to work through go time. We think we're on a path to save $150 million this year. The biggest issue there is in the way we do procurement. We're not doing the kind of contracting and procurement of materials and goods and services the way we used to. We actually are making sure we're getting good bids, and that's saving us a lot of money. We're also looking at ways to save in just day-to-day things. Consolidation of the mailroom activities is saving us $34,000 a week. So we're doing things like that, and continual improvement. We're looking at ways to make sure what we do, and I come from the private sector, so this is what we did to make my company better, long-term, not just once and done, you know, slash and burn kind of thing, but actually take the employees we have working in the state, the public servants who do really good work, and say, let's do an even better job of serving the public, whether we're on the phone, online, or in person. Let's figure out, all of us, work together to make sure that what we're doing is better, and that's a continuing process. That doesn't start and stop. It's a journey, not a destination. And those are the kinds of things that I want to continue to do moving forward. So all those things taken together are focused on making sure we have a government that works well for the people of Pennsylvania.
Governor, does it make sense to give a budget address for 2016-2017 when we don't have a budget now?
Well, actually, you know, I guess I did, all of us did a lot of hard work last year to get to the point we got to in December, and it passed the Senate, passed even the House up to the final vote when the Speaker of the House pulled the plug and went home. I'm not sure how that happens in a democracy, but it did, and so the only thing I can do is make the assumptions moving forward that we actually have a 15-16 agreement that just hasn't been brought across the finish line. And so, yeah, it does make sense. The governor has to give a budget address every year. The governor has to make a proposal to what we're going to do in the coming fiscal year, and that's what I'm doing. Nothing more, nothing less on Tuesday.
You have announced that your budget proposal for February 9th will assume an increase of $377 million to the main K through 12 education line in the current year's still incomplete state budget, and then add $200 million, a 3.3% increase in the fiscal year that will begin July 1st. If the legislature was not willing to raise taxes last year, what makes you think that they will be willing to do so this year in order to pay for that?
They were willing to raise taxes last year. That was part of the agreement. And I think reasonably there was some disagreement between the two chambers and the majorities of both chambers as to what the form of that should be. There are only two broad-based taxes in the state level, the sales tax and the personal income tax, as to how that tax would be levied, but there was agreement.
Well, I guess I'm referring specifically to the House Republicans who were going along with the feeling that they have of a mandate that involves fighting you on these ways to pay for your initiatives.
Well, let me just make sure we're on the same page here. If you stand up and proudly beat your chest and say I'm against a tax increase, and you want to promote the fiction of a balanced budget and really don't balance it at the state level, which is what's been happening at the state level for too long, then what you're doing is pushing the burden for paying for human services down to the county and local level. You're pushing the burden for paying for education down to the local level. Pennsylvania already ranks near the bottom of the country in terms of its percentage of state funding for public education. And what that means is that local taxpayers, mostly property taxpayers, end up having their taxes go through the roof. So it's almost like the folks here in Harrisburg are standing up and saying proudly, I'm not for a tax increase, but they are. They're basically saying what I'm supporting here is a big increase in property taxes, the least fair tax I can imagine. Whereas if they did a reasonable, I'll give you an example. If we raise the personal income tax to what was in the 15-16 compromise, it's probably a little higher than that now, but about 3.3% from 3.07%. That's a 23 basis point increase. That's a little over $2 a week. At the rate gasoline has dropped, the price of a gallon of gasoline, if all you do is put four gallons in your tank every month, you're actually ahead of the game over the last year and a half. So we're talking about a really modest increase at the state level. And that offsets a huge increase in most school districts and for most taxpayers, a huge increase at the local level. So that fighting me about a tax increase is disingenuous at best, because if we don't do what we need to do, the right thing at the state level, the local taxpayers are going to feel the brunt of it, bear the brunt of that.
In late December, Governor, you signed into law much of a Republican-passed budget, but vetoed significant portions in an attempt to keep negotiations going. Have there been any serious negotiations lately on the 15-16 budget?
We have been talking. I guess it's a subjective thing as to whether how serious they are, because I haven't gotten to the point where I have signed a 15-16 budget yet. But yes, we have been talking. I have met with leaders of the Republican Senate and House leadership, and staffs are meeting. So, I continue to hope that we'll bring 15-16 across the finish line.
As far as 16-17, are there things that in what you're proposing, what you've been talking about, and what you will talk about on Tuesday, that you believe both sides will be able to agree on, and so that we can avoid, a repeat of the scenario that has been dragging out here for the last 8 months?
Look, there are only two things in the 16-17 budget. It is, do we want a balanced budget? And are we actually going to do what most states in the country do when it comes to education, have a state component that is reasonable, so that we're not basically letting the localities, the local communities, bear the brunt of funding for public education. The two paths we have is if we don't have a balanced budget, and I think one that adequately invests in education, we're looking at a pretty dismal future for Pennsylvania. As I'm sure you know, Paul, the fact that we haven't really balanced our budgets without gimmicks in the past has led outside rating agencies to downgrade our debt. The budget secretary right now tells me that we are paying about an 83 basis point, that's just a little under one percentage point premium on our debt. Now, we have some old debt, but as that comes off and the new debt comes on, the $17 billion of debt, if we stick with that premium we're paying right now, that's about $139 million a year interest premium we're paying. That's more than, that's what we're paying over and above what we would pay if we had a AAA rating by the outside rating agencies. And, you know, we can't keep doing that. That's a hidden tax that is going to come back to bite every taxpayer in Pennsylvania, either in the form of higher expenses at the local level when they try to borrow for school construction, or at the state level, they try to pay down that debt and pay the debt service. If we don't get our financial house in order, that's the least of what's going to happen, because we have a $2 billion deficit that's hitting us in 16-17 just based on things that we have to do. You know, big increase in pension payments. We have increases in human service payments that we're required to make, and contractual obligations that precede my tenure as governor. That adds up to about $1.6 billion increase if we don't add anything. So I'm adding nothing more than $200 million in basic education and a little bit in pre-K, early childhood education, about $60 million. Beyond that, we need to make sure the budget balances. That's what we need to do. It's simple. It's not rocket science, but it's a tough decision that has to be done.
Would it help if legislators were not paid during a budget impasse? We had earlier this week, we had Senator Jay Costa on. He said he's not taking a paycheck. He doesn't feel right about it. Of course, other legislators are being paid, and that may be one of the reasons why it's so hard to bring everybody back to the table or keep them at the table. Would you like to see something like that?
Yeah, I'm not making any money. My entire salary has been all throughout this process, and will continue to do this, contributed to charity. So I'm not taking any of the benefits or any of the perks. So I'm not sure that that's the problem. I think that what we need to do is recognize that when you come to work in Harrisburg to do the people's business, you need to do just that. You need to get down to work, recognize that we have some tough decisions to make, recognize that we have a really big train wreck coming right at us if we don't do something, and do something about it. It's just the right thing to do. You have to look at yourself in the mirror and like what you see, and I cannot imagine people looking at what problems face Pennsylvania, all 13 million of us in Pennsylvania in 16-17, and aren't interested in actually trying to do something serious about that. We can't avoid doing something.
Governor Tom Wolf joining us by phone from Harrisburg today. Governor, thank you very much for making time for us, and good luck with everything.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. It's been great to be with you. See ya.
Likewise. Coming up, there's more to plastic surgery than meets the eye. We'll talk with Pitt Plastic Surgery Chair Peter Rubin. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.